We've been learning about series of fours. A lion, bears slash wolves, leopards, creatures.
Rabbits.
Now we
rabbits
have,
and rabbits.
Yeah, we have rabbits and rabbits this time. Camel, rabbit, pig. And he breaks up the camel, rabbit, pig into two groups. There's the camel, rabbit. It's a gamal, a shafan, and an arnevis. Listen, if an arnevis is a rabbit, a shafan's not a rabbit.
Or it'd be a hyrax.
Okay, hyraxes are cute.
Yeah,
hyraxes are good. Okay, so hyraxes are rabbits. It's some kind of small furry creature. And their hoofs are not cleft. They don't have cleft hoofs. But they chew the cud. And the Maharal explained, because Bavel, Parasamadai, and Yavan are all capable of praising the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Makam, the Kayach Adibah, the Makam with a pair, is capable of Tahara. So that's why they're connected an animal that has one Simon Tahara has in the mouth. Edom is capable of one thing. Destruction. Edom can't build up. They can only tear down. And any building up that they do is in order to tear down. That's good. So they're not shy to praise. Praise is something that's expressed when there's completion, when there's a... something comes to fruition. There's a plan, a blueprint, and then it's implemented, and you create something, and it's a positive thing, and when you come full circle, when you finally come back, when you complete what you set out to do, then there's a burst of praise. But Adam's not capable of praise because they just destroy. They destroy for the sake of destroying. Even though the other nations are also capable of destruction, but they have a goal. Their goal is to be the king, and they have to destroy in order to do that. Their goal is to knock the other, to knock their opponent down. And sometimes when you do that, sometimes you have to destroy in order to get your opponent to go down. We said that the person mother, they want everything. They want to acquire everything. So if someone's willing to give it up peacefully, they don't have to destroy him. But if a guy puts up a fight, they might have to destroy him. So they're all destroying for a purpose. Edom is destruction. Edom is attracted to destruction. Destruction is around them, and therefore they're not capable of praise. Since they're not capable of praise, the animal that they're similar to does not chew its cud. There's no simon tahara.
The feet.
Okay, so what about the feet? The feet are cleft. So Edom does have a simon tahara. In fact, the nature of a pig is that it extends its front feet forwards. It shows off its simon tahara. Right, so we left off that the Hebrew word for pig is chazir. And chazir means to restore. Because when Edom destroys everything, so then Klal Yisrael could be restored to the throne. Klal Yisrael is not going to be restored to their throne on top of the ruins of other civilizations. They'll be restored to the throne when there are no other civilizations. When there's a vacuum. You don't build a malchus on the cracked and crumbling foundations of other malchus. So that's why they will not become, they will not get, Klal Yisrael does not get the Melucha back after Bavel, because Bavel doesn't totally destroy. It doesn't totally get destroyed either. It carries out. And the same with the Paras and Madai, and same thing with Yavan. There's remnants. There's crumbling relics of the previous civilizations.
The influences it had on the...
Yes, but Edom... After Edom vanishes from the scene, they leave nothing in their wake. What follows Edom is total destruction. Seems like Rav Moshe Shlita was talking about Gog and Magog. Now, Gog and Magog is not Edom. But Gog and Magog takes place during Galus Edom. Now, they're not descended. They're not descended from Edom. They're probably descended from Yavon.
From
Yavon. Yavon and Edom, they're not, that they don't come from the same origins. But they're connected. Well, Yavin is Italy, Rome. Where Rome is Rome, it's Edom. They're connected. So the Melech, in the time of Melech, you know, right before Melech HaMashiach is Gog and Magog. And Gog and Magog is Begematria 70. Gimel Vav Gimel is 12. Mem. 52. Another,
18.
What? Another, another 12?
In the Vav.
Right? Umar Gag? So it's
18. 52 plus 18.
That's 18 is 26. You get 70. Gog and Magog is 70 because Gog and Magog represents all 70 nations. They're not an individual nation. The conglomeration of nations, and that's also the same as Edom. Another name for Edom is Goyim. That's one of the names of Edom, Goyim. In Parshat Lech Lecha, Sidol Melech Goyim. Sidol was the king of Goyim. Goyim is Edom, because Edom doesn't have a culture. Edom gets everything; they steal everything. Edom followed Yavon. Edom took Greek culture. And they enforced it on the whole world. Christianity, at its very base, the origins of Christianity, is rife with Greek mythology. The whole Trinity, you know, the Father, the Mother, Casper, the Holy Ghost, they have, you know, that gets in there. It gets in there because at its very core is Greek mythology. The Greeks are the ones that the gods that are frolicking in the heavens and they're throwing lightning bolts at each other, carrying on up there. And Christianity is based on that, even though Christianity is officially monotheistic. It's a claim. It's a claim. It's a pre-claim. It's a combination of Tarbus Yavon, Greek culture, and the sword of Edom. Edom took their sword, and they wanted to... What?
They're more of a religion.
What?
Edom.
Yeah, but it's not religion for the sake of religion. They have religion in order to destroy. That's why they have their religion. Yavon, they have a religion, or they have beliefs. Their beliefs are philosophical. They really believe in it. They see the wisdom in it. They figured it out. You know, they figured it out. They didn't go deep enough, though. But from what on their level, they figured it out. And there's a lot of what they figured out that's in our Masera. But the Rambam brings it into our Masera. But Edom has nothing. All they have is destruction. And they harness the philosophical beliefs of the Greeks in order to destroy. The Crusades. There was a war to liberate the Holy Land from the infidel. They didn't manage to liberate the Holy Land from the infidel, but they went across Europe, destroying everything in their wake. They didn't wait to get to Israel until they fought. They just robbed and pillaged their. The way across Europe. It wasn't even, you know, it's like, what's the point? Deliberating the land from the infidels. They don't even know who Israel is. They've never gotten anywhere near Israel. They destroyed Poland. Poland's near Israel? They destroyed in the name of their religion. Their religion was in order to destroy. So they took Greek culture. They took Greek philosophy. They made some kind of dogma out of it, a religious dogma. And then they forced it on people to destroy them. And it's still it's an ongoing thing. We are being destroyed by Greek philosophy in so many ways. Physically, they killed out people physically in the name of their god. And in the culture, the prevalent culture of Greek philosophy is something that destroys any values. Greek philosophy is the philosophy that there's no such thing as right or wrong. There's just wise and not wise. The value system of Greek philosophy is not to be confused with our value system. They worship wisdom. If it's wise, you embrace it. If it's not wise, you reject it. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. If it's wise, it's right. That very much sums up today's society. There's no right or wrong. Everything is legitimate. You can justify anything, as long as you have a mahalach. So Rebbe said that the Navi says on Gog Magog, Gei Hamoin Goyim. The valley of Hamoin. Hamoin means a lot. The Gog Magog, the Gematria 70, represents multitude. A lot. That's also today's society. You know, the one who amasses the most toys wins. That's a race. Whoever amasses the most toys wins. By the time you're bored, you have to get a lot and a lot and a lot and more and more and more and more, and you're never satisfied because there's always more than more. And from the time a person's born until he dies, it just keeps going. You know, like the wealthy people of this world, that they have everything you could possibly possess in this world, so now they're setting their sights on outer space. Just this week, and I think yesterday, there was a probe that went into orbit around Mars. It was launched about a year ago. It traveled something like 64 million miles to get there.
Okay, Brecky,
64 million miles. It was going 600,000 miles an hour. You can do the math. Like 600,000 miles an hour. It's over 60 million miles. Took a year to get there. It doesn't work.
20,000
miles.
It doesn't work.
It
could take 100
years to get there. No, I might not have the figure straight, but I do know that it took longer than it should because it didn't go straight. It has to go in an orbit. Because the distance, they're saying how long the signal traveled, that there's like a delay. So that was one thing, the distance between Earth and the probe. And then the time it took to get there would be longer because it didn't grow as the crow flies. It didn't go direct. But there are private enterprises, not NASA, private enterprises that they're already working on the next stage of transporting humans to Mars. It's not as easy to send a human to Mars as a probe, because a probe could go much faster than a human.
And doesn't need food.
Well, for a year, it wouldn't be a problem. If they could have that thing go, the thingamabob, that takes a human there. But it's like the next frontier. You have wealthy people that they have everything you possibly have on Earth. You think they'd be satisfied. They have to conquer space, and they won't be satisfied with space either. That's our culture. Our culture is it's never enough. it's not, you know, there's no way you can't win the game. It's not, you can't win it because the rules keep changing. You know, the rules of the game is to get a million, and then as soon as you get a million, so then you have to get 2 million. When you get to 2 million, you have to get 4 million. It keeps going. So my Rebbe says that there's something that happens when you do that. I mean, it's a basic rule of economics. For example, when the stock market shoots up high, so it keeps going and going and going, and the people that owned stocks when it was low, they end up making a lot of money. But then people jump on the bandwagon when it goes high, and they buy then, and they lose everything. Because it can't, you know, that kind of growth, it can't sustain itself. The higher it goes, the more you need for it to keep it that high. You know, you're talking about if it's a product or if there's a buyout, you're talking about sales, you're talking about customers or investors. So in any case, you know, so the more sales or the more investments, so then the heavier the company or whatever the stock is in, that it becomes heavier, it becomes bigger. You have a lot of investors, it becomes bigger, or you have a lot of confidence. So then they have more credit. But then the corporation gets bigger and you need more resources to support it. You know, anything that makes an enterprise larger, so you have that immediate benefit that's larger, it's worth more, but then you need more to sustain that growth. You know, to sustain a $1 million company takes a certain amount of resources. To sustain a $10 million company takes more resources. And if you're not there, so then you have a company that you expand. This happened actually with Bonka's Bagels. In Israel, there was a bagel vacuum. There were no bagels. You couldn't get a bagel in Israel. It was uncivilized. You couldn't get a bagel here. And then someone came and opened up Bonka's Bagels, and lo and behold, there were bagels. And I think the original one was in the old city. It's still there. It's still there under some form. And it was doing a thriving business. It was people going crazy with sugar over bankers. Yes. Yeah. Go bankers over bankers. And then all of a sudden they opened up franchises all over. There was a franchise in Hanover. There was a franchise in Ben Yehuda. There was a franchise all over. They were just popping up all over the place. And they all closed. Because you just, you know, to keep something going like that. So even though initially, they probably were all doing very well initially, but in order to sustain that kind of growth, you need more. And it's called becoming top-heavy. That your output is great, and then you don't have what to sustain it. And then it collapses on itself. And my Rebbe said, that's the same thing that's going to happen to Gog and Magog. It's called Gei Hamayin Goyim. Hamayin means that Gog and Magog, they worship this concept of multitude. That the more and more and more, get more and 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 more, you know, more and more and more and more. You make a bigger engine and a bigger engine and a bigger engine and a bigger engine but a bigger engine. But eventually it's too heavy to get off the ground. You know, it's a nice marshal. Or you don't have enough gas to power it. You know, the more bigger you make it, the more you need to put into it. So at some point, it's going to implode. You cannot have infinite growth in this world. It should constantly grow and grow and grow and grow and keep growing and expanding and expands exponentially. And eventually, it's going to get so big that the growth itself is going to make it collapse. So that's how Gog and Magog, that they were, you know, Yaakov Avinu, when he spoke to Esav, he said, Yesh li kol. Yaakov didn't say, I worship multitude. He said, I worship totality, I worship shleimus, Yesh li kol. That, you know, there's a certain point where it's enough, when you have shleimus. And Esav said, Yesh li rav. So again, you see the tzad hashava between Gog and Magog and Esav. And the morale says that the Chazir is the one that's going to return the Malchus to Klal Yisrael, because the Chazir is Edom, and Edom has a special relationship with destruction. And when Adam is finished, that's when Adam comes to this world. They come to, you know, initially to come to this world to destroy everything that's opposed to them. And that's a lot of fun for them in the beginning. But eventually, the relationship with destruction causes them to lead a way of life that the more they grow, the more likely they are to self-destruct. So the moral of the story is, if you affiliate with destruction, if you have an intimate relationship with destruction, so then it unavoidably ends up affecting you and destroying the destroyers.
What's the connection between destruction and multitude?
Because unchecked multitude is a one-way path to destruction. So that's why the metal, we had the metals, you know, gold, silver, iron, copper. Barzal. Barzal is iron. Because Barzal is the metal of destruction. Swords are made of Barzal. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash cannot be made with iron tools. Iron is the tool of destruction.
What about when Herod did the Tikkun Iban, when he fixed it up? He also couldn't use metal, or that was just the original?
I don't know what he did use. You know, it's interesting. But yeah, you can't use metal. I mean, the building that Herod built was a multicolored marble.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah, like the waves.
Gold
too.
No. He was gonna do gold.
Right.
So he goes back to the division between the hyrax, the rabbit, and the camel. Each one of them has a siman tahara. They chew their cud. And the siman tahara is in the mouth, so it represents the kayach adibur. The kayach adibur is the pnimius of a person. When you say, you express what's inside you. It's not as obvious as other parts of the person. But once you say it, it becomes obvious. But the siman tahara is benister. Now you look at an animal, and he's not eating. Could you tell he chews his cud? It's not so, you know, it's not an obvious thing. It's something which it does, and you have to notice it. Even when it does it. It's not noticeable. It's benister. It's a hidden thing. So it's a siman tahara, which is hidden, and that represents the following concept. That even though on the externalism, the outside of these nations, of Vavo, Parsamada, and Yavan, is that they have no connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's only on the outside. It certainly looks like they have no connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that's only on the outside. Deep down, internally, there's a siman tahara. They have a shachas to tahara. In the times of Mashiach, they could join. They'll join in. The other nations will join in. Because then they'll get rid of their outer tumah, and the inner tahara will come out. That's why they're compared to animals, that they have a siman tahara in their mouth. But the siman tahara of Edom is the chazir, that's the legs that it extends. That means its siman tahara is out in the open. The legs, they're extended out in front of it for all to see. Everyone can see cleft hooves. Just look at it. It's there. It's right there in front of your face. And Adarab, the kayach adibar of Edom, they're not capable of praising, and they don't have tahar dibar. So that's something which you might not notice. It's hidden. It's hidden. So what's obvious is, you know, what's prominent is the tahara. And what's hidden, what's not so obvious, that's the inner core of Edom is rotten, is the tumah. That they don't have a kayach adibar that's able to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So said, that means that they're always showing, they're always trying to demonstrate how close they are with God. They're sticking out the hooves to show off. Look how close we are with God. Because they're showing off the only part of themselves, which is Simon Tahara, the split hooves.
Which part of Adam is Simon Tahara?
What?
Which part of Adam is Simon Tahara?
Well, you know, if... Which nation, of all the nations, of all the other, you know, claims that they have a relationship with God?
Isn't that the opposite of what a Amalek wants?
It's not a Amalek.
It's Adam. Adam is refined Amalek.
Now, Amalek is refined. Amalek is distilled Adam. I mean, there are going to be similarities between Adam and Amalek, but Amalek does not show off. Amalek doesn't have any similarity to Hara. Amalek's not a pig. Adam's a pig. Amalek is not a pig. Which nation is the one that's the most prominent that they have a relationship with God? And they show it off. Who's the biggest God show offs? And that's the Christians.
The numbers wouldn't be like on this one.
So therefore, the cemetery of Adam is in the part that they show off. Somewhere else, what about Yishmael?
Why is that the next step?
No, he's asking Akasha because we have four nations, we've got four metals, we've got two sets of animals.
Well, Yishmael is the feet. Clay feet, isn't that Yishmael?
Malchus Yisrael is not mentioned in this Medrash. Malchus Yisrael is not mentioned. You have the camel, the hyrax, the rabbit, and the pig. Which animals is Yishmael? There's a difference between Malchus Yishmael and the other Malchus. Because Baruch Hu gave Malchus to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael rules. It's mutl, it's incumbent on Klal Yisrael to rule. It's incumbent on Klal Yisrael to be Masada the Bria. It's incumbent on Klal Yisrael to spread Kadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus through their Malchus. And the other nations, that's not their job. Hashem doesn't give them malchus. That's not their job. For what they have to do, they don't need to be a malach. They can be productive, but they don't need to be a malach to do what they have to do. So if they want to be a malach, like really be a malach, they make themselves into a malach, it won't last. They don't... There's no malchus for them to take. All the malchus was taken by Klal Yisrael. You can't be a malach unless you have a connection to royalty. It won't work. It won't last. You won't be successful being a malach unless you have it. You have it, you know, that you have a connection to being a malach. And they don't have one. So by capturing Klal Yisrael, they get the connection to Malchus. So when Bavel captured Klal Yisrael, it wasn't just an act of war. It wasn't just an act of domination. The only way that they could rule over the whole world is if they rule over the kings of the world. So even though Bava can't be kings themselves, they can't. They just don't have it. But if they rule over the kings, so then they rule the world. Because the ruler over the kings is the ruler over the world. So Bava capturing Klal Yisrael, attacking Klal Yisrael, conquering Klal Yisrael, the goal was more than just territorial or power. They wanted to be a melech, and the only way to be a melech is to capture the kings, to capture Klal Yisrael. And the same thing with Parsimad, and same thing with Yavin. So these four nations, they all have something in common, that their Malukha came from Klai, so they don't have their own Malukha. And that's why they go one after another. That, as above, it was a nobody. It was a no one. Nebuchadnezzar was a no one. He started a war against Klai on the second year of the Babylonian Empire. It was 1 year old. He was a nobody. He was a no one. And as soon as they went against Klai Yisrael, the pasuk says, "Hayut tzara al reish," that the enemy is depressed. They become, you take Klai Yisrael, you become big. You find references to this. Oppose Klai Yisrael, you become big. And then when Parasamadhi captured Bavel, they didn't just capture Bavel, they went to war against Bavel because Klai Yisrael was above them. They wanted Klai Yisrael because they wanted to be a Melech. So they snatched Klai Yisrael away from Bavel, and they became the kings of the world, and Bavel became a nobody. And Yavon did the same thing to Parasamadhi, and Edom did the same thing to them. And then eventually Edom's going to plot, and Klai Yisrael was going to get the Malchus back. But Yishma's not like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Malchus to Avram Avinu, and Yishmael comes from Avram Avinu, and Avram davened for Yishmael. So Hashem gives them their own Malchus. And they don't have to take it from Klai Yisrael.
Why does Adam?
What? It's not a good thing.
What?
It's not a good thing.
What about Adam?
Who?
Adam comes from Esau.
Avraham Avinu didn't daven for Kadosh Baruch Hu that Edom should be considered like a child of his. It's not just biological. We're living for this now. We're very much living for this now. We went through Babel already. We went through Parasimadai, Yavan, Edom. And now Yishmael. You see, the other nations, they stole something that's ours. We're the Malachim, they're not. They stole something that's ours. So it's only natural that it should return to us. And there's a Seder HaOlam. It's coming back to us. It's on the way back. You see, all the powers to be in the world, the great superpowers, they're not so great, they're not so super, and they're not so powerful. It's coming back. There's a shift of power. You see it. You see that the world is coming apart. We see the words of the morale that it's coming. The world is coming apart. It's not getting destroyed. It's disappearing. America at one time was a tremendous power. It didn't get destroyed. No one conquered it. No one destroyed it. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock. Russia is from long ago. You weren't old enough to know when Russia was a superpower. The whole world trembled from Russia. And now they disappeared. The power disappeared. Everything. There's no country in the entire world that has anything to it. And the Malchus is leaving the nations of the world. It's leaving. They're losing the Malchus. That means that they can no longer convey. They can't tell people what to do. They don't have any power. They can't intimidate. And then you have Yishmael. The Yishmael has their own sorts of Malchus. They don't need to steal our Malchus in order to be a Malach. And they rule. And they rule on their own. They're in a separate category. They're on their own. They don't work with the other nations, with the other four. And they have a power from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They have a power from Avraham Avinu. The Chazal say they have a Zchus of Bismillah. Because they do Bismillah. They have their own Zchus. The other nations, their whole right to power is because Hashem decided at some point that we didn't deserve it anymore, and they're going to come and take it away from us. But Yishmael, they haven't had some. So You're fighting the other nations over who gets the crown. Of course you're going to win. It's rightfully yours. But you're fighting with Yishmael over who gets the crown. You have a crown and they have a crown. They're both given by God. So there's only one way. We have to outdo them. We have to outdo them in Malchus. We have to say Hashem gave a crown to two of his children, Yishmael and Yitzchak. Two of Avraham Avinu's children. And both of the children passed down to their children to spread God's sovereignty through the world. And Yishmael does it their way, and Yitzchak does it his way. The only way to win against Yishmael is for our avodah and spreading God's malchus to be more genuine and more real than their way of spreading God's malchus. It's to show them up for the phonies that they are. To show them they're not real. They're just putting on an act. And it's very hard to do because they're willing to kill, they're willing to be Mesha Nefesh in order to spread God's malchus. To spread what they think, what they perceive to be God's malchus. They're willing to blow themselves up in order that they should be the only ones that represent God's malchus. And we're not even willing to get out of bed to spread God's malchus. It's a very big danger. They have Mesirus Nefesh. You know, when a guy's about to, chas v'shalom, go into Israel and try and commit an act of terror, I don't think he needs a vaka to wake him up in the morning to do it. The big sakana we're in is that they really believe in it and they're willing to die for it. And do we really believe in it? This is the Avodah Rosh Hashanah. The Avodah Rosh Hashanah, we don't focus on our chataim. We don't focus on our chataim. The time for that is El. The time for achet and slichas and hashamnus, that's El. We don't focus on our chataim. It's not about the individual. We focus on Klai Yisrael being batl mevutl for one cause. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should be melech akol olam. We say v'chein tein pachtecha kol ma'asecha. What are we davening for in Rosh Hashanah? We're davening Rosh Hashanah that Hashem should cause people to fear Him. Everyone should fear God. V'yasa kulam aguda echas lasa v'tzenchum levi v'shalem. We daven that everyone should join together in unity to accept God as a melech. The individual is not mentioned. We're sort of disappearing on Rosh Hashanah. So the Arabs have their way of disappearing, and we have our way of disappearing. They disappear. They're willing to disappear. I mean, they don't count as long as God's malchus fills the world. But they're not real. You know why they're not real? Because they convince themselves that by killing themselves, they're really doing themselves a favor, because what waits them in the afterlife is pleasure beyond pleasure. So it looks like they're willing to give up everything for God, but that's just the way it looks. The Mesirus Nefesh is flawed. They're really doing it for their own pleasure. Our avodah, the whole year, and especially Rosh Hashanah, is that we should be willing to give up everything also. But not like them. And we should be able to give it up just because. Just because. And not because we're going to get something out of it, not because we're going to gain from it, not because there's going to be 70 Virginians waiting up there. Those Virginians are all there. That's not much the difference. Yizaykah to Aksivik Simutayva, the Sifrin Shal Tzadikim, Yizaykah to to put our hearts in the right place. This is, Rosh Hashanah is the coronation of the king. So we take the crown, we say it's not about us, and we put it on God's head. That's the kavanah of Rosh Hashanah. With that, the Mesiras Nefesh will be real Mesiras Nefesh. The Ishmael will be shown up for the fakers that they are. And this year will be the year when we'll be revival the Satan. And we have the Rezek Titaka, the Shefer Gadol. The big Shefer.
Okay.
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 So who's going to start going back to teaching
it? Same deal as last year.
Good job.
For you.
I have a bunch of